Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
There's an old saying, and I've heard people say this, and I even heard Eric Wood talk about this before when we were at a roast one time. And he was up on the stage and he said somebody else had said this to him. It's not like a new thing or he created it, but it's a saying. It's basically the days are long, but the years are short, right? I mean, things just fly, man. Holy cow. It's like, oh, today I'm dreading it. I got this going on and that going on. I got to work or go to this thing that I don't want to do, whatever it is, right? It just always feels like that a lot of times. And then suddenly you wake up and it's week 10 of 2025. Like, where the hell did the season go, man? Seriously. Crazy. Week 10 of 2025.
It went by in a blink.
I mean, yeah. Football is, like, I cover football. I love football, right? So I think that's part of this, what I'm about to say. Like, it's different maybe for me and others out there listening than it is for many others. But it just seems way too long to wait, like that wait and anticipation in football for the season. And then it really is kind of the shortest season, Joe, right, of all the seasons, of all the professional sports leagues. They start regular season now, I'm talking. They start in September, and then the playoffs begin in January. So September, October, November, December. You think about baseball, you're going from April through August.
Yeah.
You think about basketball, you're going from November through May. You think about hockey, it's October through May. Baseball, and for right reason, right? It's a very physical sport. It's why you only play 17 games. It's why you only have one game a week. But it really is like the wait for football is so long. And then it's like that, it's like Thanksgiving dinner, right? You wait, you're like, oh my God, it smells so good. I can't wait. And then literally like 45 minutes after you sit down, you're like, oh my God, it's all done.
Yeah.
It's totally done.
You just feel gluttonous after, like you consumed way too much. Like it just overdid it. Yeah. That's exactly. It's insane. I feel like it was yesterday we were sitting here talking about the Bills matchup with the Dolphins the first time around.
Yes.
And here we are for the second time in week 10. So it went super fast.
Do you remember what the conversation was surrounding that week, that game?
We were doing a lot of Miami memories. I remember that. The rivalry between the two teams and all of that.
Right, but between the two teams, like the storyline about the seasons of these two teams right now. Like in week 3, do you remember what the big talking point was at the time? I don't know if you remember.
It wasn't really
the Bills, it was the Dolphins. It was, if the Bills put one on the Dolphins, do they fire Mike McDaniel?
Yeah, that's right, because the planes were flying over the stadium at that point. Yeah, yeah.
The Dolphins had lost 33-8 to open the season at Indy, and then they lost 33-27 the following week at home to the Patriots. And the talk was, boy, if the Bills just run them out of Highmark Stadium, they have a Thursday night game. They have time to prepare a little mini bye, so to speak. Do they just fire Mike McDaniel? Like, that was the talking point. That didn't happen. They were competitive. I mean, the game came down to the final, series.
Yeah, a blocked
punt. The Dolphins had a chance to tie it, and then Terrell Bernard had the interception, right?
Right, the interception, and also the roughing the kicker, running into penalty was, too. That kind of helped them out big time there.
That's right, and there was Zach Sealer on the roughing the passer as well was a big one.
Yes.
And then the Bills go down, they get another field goal. The Bills win by 10 that game, 31-21. And the Dolphins keep their coach. And then, how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks later, they fire their general manager. So they're kind of in the same spot that what we talked about in week 3. It's not the coach, it's the GM, but it's a rudderless ship. It's got no direction. It's a team that's reeling. And the Buffalo Bills now come to town after winning 2 in a row, starting to feel better about themselves, yes, with some injuries, and a chance really to kind of, if the Dolphins aren't already buried, a chance to really bury the Dolphins, right? Because if you look at the Dolphins, they're thinking, okay, 2-7, their season, it's not really going anywhere. They'd have to go on a big run. But they also didn't trade everybody. Jalen Waddle's still there. Chubb is still there. And there was talk they were going to have this fire sale. It didn't happen. They did trade Jalen Phillips. So their season is about probably seeing what they have for parts next year. So they're going to maintain some of the talent they have. And that includes Tua right now and all that, obviously. Then they'll make decisions. So I think Miami, at least, is looking at this game like, okay, maybe we can sneak one out here and see where we fit in and if we can feel better about ourselves. But at the end of the day, this should be a game where I think the Bills should just go down and take care of business.
Oh, yeah.
It is Miami week. Go ahead.
No, I think they totally should. This team,
yes,
is worse for wear than the last time you saw them. I know it's a divisional game, so like you can never really discount it. Things can get a little tricky, frisky, whatever you want to call it. But this should be just putting your knee on them and just,
yes,
declaring victory at this point. Like that's what this should be.
I agree. And honestly, the path to doing that, I could go one of two ways. It's a terrible Miami run defense. You could literally just say, okay, James Cook, let's go. 200 yards, right? I mean, like, I know that's a little hyperbolic from my standpoint to say that, but I mean, like, you could do that way. Hey, the Bills are terrific at running the ball. By the way, Miami is terrible at defending the run, but then they stopped Bijan Robinson. How the heck did that happen?
Yeah, like I've never experienced a more it's a week-to-week league than I feel like I have this season, because it's even the Patriots handled the Falcons, but then the Falcons played their best game ever against the Bills, pretty much.
That's right. Miami, you want to know how bad they are stopping the run? They're actually worse than the Bills in yards per game given up.
Whoa.
145.6. The Bills are at 141. Now, the Bills are worse at yards per play, 5.36. Miami's still getting up 5 yards a run. James Cook comes to town. However, I could say, okay, James Cook, just do what you do. Bills run the ball. Get out of the game. Healthy, hopefully, come back home. You could say that. I could go the other way and go, Miami's pass defense is allowing over 7.2 yards a play, 27th in the NFL. They have no Jalen Phillips, probably no Chop Robinson. That's not official yet. Their secondary is really dipping into their depth because there's no Russell Douglas, most likely. So how about I just get the passing game going with Josh Allen and get on them early, because I also have James Cook, who's hobbled, and I don't need him carrying the ball 25 times.
Yeah.
Like, I could do that too.
That was my thought. I feel like it could be a big passing game just because you don't want to put too much on Cook with him being on the injury report and everything.
Speaking of the injury report, we will get to that with Sean McDermott, who's going to join me about an hour from now here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you on a Buffalo Football Friday. Yes, it's Friday already. As I said, weeks go by fast, seasons go by fast, days go by long, but we're already here on a Football Friday, and it's brought to you by Cellino Law. Car crash, call Cellino. Call the 8s and buy Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's Hometown Fuel. Game day ready since 1922. How are you feeling about this game? Are you just in the camp of, okay, like, just go there and take care of business? Or are you one of these Bills fans who say, no, this is the kind of game the Bills lose and I'm really nervous? Like, you can give me a call on that at 803-0550. Are you going to the game? A lot of Bills fans traveling down to South Florida. A lot of Bills fans live down in Florida, the Sunshine State, or other southeastern states. They'll go to the game. Always a huge Bills contingent. I expect Bills Mafia to really show up in this game, because honestly, like, Miami Dolphins fans are pretty much front runners, and I've experienced this. early in the season, if they're playing pretty well, you'll get a nice, loud Miami Stadium rooting on their team. If you get a team that's not performing well, especially later in the year, they are just checked out and like, yeah, just sell my ticket. I'll go to Hard Rock and hang out at the club, or you can just take my ticket and go and I'll do something else. Like, that's just the way it is. So I think Bills fans are going to show up in droves in this game, like Carolina. Carolina might have been over 50% Bills fans, and I'm not kidding you. I think that's what we're going to see in this game in Miami, and that'll be a really nice boost for the Bills, who go on the road, who need another victory to keep pace with the New England Patriots, who play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We will talk about that game and other games here as the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show rolls on. Not only, though, excuse me, not only are we going to have Sean McDermott a little after 11 a.m., we're going to get with Paul Hamilton at 10:30 a.m. Yes, at the bottom of this hour, we will talk Sabres. I have some thoughts on that in a moment. I want to bring Owen in as well as Joe here in just 1 second. And we're going to get with Pat Hammer at 11:30. So Paul at 10:30, McDermott in the 11 a.m. hour. Pat Hammer at 11:30. If you're going down to South Florida, we'll have a weather check for you. So a lot on the table, and of course, your phone calls. 803-0550 is the telephone number. You can always hit me up at Sal Sports on X. And of course, whether you call, you tweet, whatever it is, that is getting connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. So I love the Sabres. I love watching the Sabres. This is a two-part story, okay? It's a two-part story. And I'm going to bring Owen in here because I know that you do too, Owen, but you grew up in a household where your dad is very similar to me, I think, in this regard, right? Like, your dad's a little bit older than me, but we're of the same kind of mind and age growing up and what it meant to us going to games and watching games and back in the 80s. And not to get too nostalgic, it's Miami week, folks, so we get nostalgic here sometimes. But this is a two-part story. Left the game against Utah, they lose in overtime, and I'm sitting in my car, I'm in the parking garage, and I'm leaving. I got my son Max with me. My son Max is 12 years old. He's never seen a playoff hockey game in Buffalo. He's never seen his team play in the playoffs, much like many of you never saw the Bills in the playoffs for many years during the drought, and we heard those stories. Same thing. I'm sitting in my car, and I'm just like getting, like, I'm kind of, you know, you ever do one of those things, like you're in your car, and you kind of bang your fist because you're thinking internally about something? Right? And that happens. You ever do that? Right? Oh, yeah. Owen, Joe, oh, right? Yeah. It happens, right?
For all sure. The time.
And Max says to me, he goes, Dad, what's wrong? And I go, I'm sorry, buddy. It's a true story. I said, I'm sorry, man. I just want the playoffs so bad. I want it for you. I just want it so bad. Like, since I moved back to Buffalo, by the way, in 2011, I haven't seen the playoffs. Now, I saw playoffs before that, but like, I just want it for you. And I want the playoffs so bad. And that's a game you need to win. That's a game you need to win. Just get that home. Like, it's 2 points. It's huge. And, you know, and Max, you know, and I think it's because he's 12 and he hasn't seen the playoffs and he's like, he doesn't know that competitive part of it to get to that level. He's like, well, they got a point. And I'm like, you're right, buddy. They got a point, but you got to win that. So then last night, two-part story. Last night, I'm like, here we go. All right. You got a terrible defensive/goaltending team coming to town in St. Louis with a goaltender who can't stop a beach ball right now. Okay, and Hofer, you got a Sabres team that is supposed to be much better at defending in their own end, and they have talent to score goals, we know that, and needs a win at home against this kind of bottom-dweller Western Conference team at this point. Go win this game. Win 3-1. I don't care. I know you have injuries at forward. Whatever it is, this guy's not going to stop anything. One goal in last night, Owen. One goal in.
Yep.
I was so mad and frustrated. I said, I am turning on football. I am not turning this back unless I look on my score app and they tie the game. Like, that's how frustrated I was. I could not bring myself to watch it.
Yeah. I mean, the building last night, the Sabres started that game, the opening 5 minutes, playing what I thought was well. They came out flying. They did what they should have done against a tired St. Louis team that isn't really any good. They moved their feet, they forechecked, and they got after him. And I don't know why they got away from that, what they saw that made them think they could get cute or that led to the decline in play that we saw. But that result last night and that effort overall is – it's tough to understate how disappointing it was. I said in my post-game tweet after, like, this is as disappointing a loss as they've had all year. And
100%.
I think that you'll have a hard time if this season doesn't – either way this season goes, really, that will be something that sticks out in my mind, that game, that effort, and that result against that team in that spot. Like, there was so much going for you in that game last night. Not only does Hofer struggle this year in general, but he got thrown into a game the night before because Binnington got lit up. So he had played half a game the night before and was coming in off of travel to come face your team in playing behind the worst defensive team in the league. And they couldn't do anything.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. P&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Anything. They generated some chances, but that isn't worth anything when you can't bury. And the building felt hostile, and I think it makes sense that it did. And it just, it's really tough to put into words how difficult that loss is, especially now heading on to this road trip where they're going out west and they've got to face some really good teams and they're going to have to pick up some points to stay alive in a tight Eastern Conference on the road. And like, if they go 1-4 or 1-3 or 0-4 on this road trip, that could be the year. You'll be in a hole that you can't dig out of.
No, you're right about that. Folks, I want to put it in perspective right now because I understand that it's so interesting. You look at the standings. if you win your next game, okay, you're a point away from a wild card. Not bad. But that's the frustrating part. They are 5-9. That's the record. The record is 5-9. They've lost 9 games. 5 in regulation, 4 in overtime or shootout. They've won 5 games, 4 in regulation. Okay? They're 5-0, so give them the win. They won in the shootout against Washington. Great. 5-9. That is the record of the Buffalo Sabres right now. Not 5-5-4. I understand that's what it says in the standings. They have 5 wins against 9 losses, 4 wins in regulation. Do you remember over the last few years, okay, I think we all do, how there were a couple of times, maybe last year was one of these years, where Kansas City was getting all the, oh my God, I can't believe they win these games. But even before that, 2022, I think, comes to mind here for this with the Buffalo Bills, where it's like, oh my God, the one seed is there. Go get it, right? The one seed is there. Go get it. It's like this year.
Yep.
Like the one seed is there. Go get it. And they just couldn't get it over. That's what this reminds me of in a totally different realm, but it's the same thing with the Sabres where, dude, the East is not that good now.
No.
This is your chance to do this. What are we doing?
You are seeing the fall of what has been in the Atlantic the strongest division in the league for years. You've got Florida struggling. They're older. They're, I think, taking a step back. Tampa, same boat. Boston, same boat. Montreal, Ottawa, and Detroit are really your competition here. Toronto, I think, is similar to Florida and Tampa. They're depleted. They lost Marner.
Yes.
They look different and not anywhere near as dangerous as they have. This is as good an opportunity as the Sabres have ever had to make the playoffs based on their division. And they have, frankly, fumbled away far too many points just this early in the season to really take them that seriously right now. They cannot. The overtimes are great, but two of the three of those overtimes, or three even, you give up third period goals and give up leads in the third period to give away points to teams in your division. It is, you are gifting this back to these teams that do not, they're asking you to come up and take it from them, and
yes,
you are handing it right back to them.
Let's go through it real quick. I'll look at it. Here's your Eastern Conference standings right now, and I'll get. Hey, New Jersey's a really good team, right? The Devils are very, very good. We know that. They have a lot of talent. They do a lot of things. Montreal. The Montreal Canadiens right now have 20 points. They're 9-5 overall. Yes, I know they've done some nice things. Cole Caulfield, they're a nice team. They have some young players. Pittsburgh, old, playing over their heads. Whatever. They're not going to keep this up. Pittsburgh has 20 points right now. Carolina, very good. Detroit, to me, and Buffalo and Detroit are on the same plane, kind of, right? They're these teams that are right there.
Right.
I think you can really compare their rosters, pretty talented. But how about this? Boston, old. I don't care. 9-7, 18 points. Toronto, old and injured right now. 8-6 right now, 17 points. Philadelphia Flyers, who the hell knows what they are going to do every year? They have this early spurt. They fall off. Tampa Bay, Washington, both old. Florida, old and injured. Ottawa, not really sure. Can never get consistency out of them. The New York Islanders, they're kind of in transition mode. I don't even know what direction they want to go necessarily.
They've been in
the Rangers. I hate saying this about a great Sabre all time. I think the Rangers GM screwed them up, to be quite honest with you. I don't know what the heck he was doing over the last year and a half. Everything's there.
It almost feels like you have to actively try not to make it, like the way the division is, right?
With the talent that you've got, even with, taking Paterka out of the lineup and the injury to Norris, what they have shown the ability to play like in the stretches that they have played well is easily good enough to get them into a playoff spot in this season, in this conference. They just need to be able to perform the way that they are clearly capable of performing consistently. And that is, has that not been the story of what they've struggled with since when? Jack Eichel? Like, it's been forever that this team has shown flashes of being able to be competitive and has players that are elite. And they just, time and time again, when the pressure cranks up, they crack. And they need to, something needs to change with them DNA-wise to get them through this. Because it is, to
That's
me,
right.
They cannot think that the same things cannot continue to hurt you. And they keep happening. the same players struggle in the same moments, and it cannot continue.
Let me go to a phone call because Bill at Amherst wants to chime in on that very point. Go ahead, Bill. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Yeah, guys, it's the old adage, you're only as good as your best players, right? And that usually proves out in any sport. I haven't seen much out of Tage Thompson this year. I don't know if the rest of the league is caught up with him, but he just doesn't, I don't know, I just don't see it. Dahlin spends too much time in a penalty box. He falls down in a 3-on-3, and that ends a game. I just don't see enough out of our best players. I know we've got some injuries, but, Thompson's got to be better. Even Tuck's been okay, but you need more out of these guys. That's my story.
Thank you. You had something on Tage this morning, you said.
Tage is producing at a level that you can't really complain about his impact. So it's difficult to have this conversation, but he is not playing good hockey to me. He almost looks to me like a Harlem Globetrotter trying to play in the NBA. He is out there and he's supremely talented. He has all the skill in the world. He can do everything you want a hockey player to do. But I think there are moments where his brain turns off and he just sees skilled plays that he wants to make and he forces it. And he gets pucks taken off him off the wall. He ends up skating himself into trouble. He dives after pucks, in the neutral zone when he should be clogging lanes. And it just has not been good enough from him. And the same with Dahlin, the same with Power. Like, there are guys that you need to be performing. They have been really dragged to the wins that they have gotten by players like Josh Doan and Zach Benson, who are not your top-end players. They are your middle six players. They are guys that are supposed to contribute and help out when the big guys are struggling, which is what they're doing. But the big guys cannot struggle for 15 straight games. That is not a recipe for winning. You cannot rely on Zach Benson to be your leading goal scorer in his third year in the league. That is not realistic. And that's where they're at right now. Like, Tage, Tuck, and Dahlin, those three have been playing okay. They're producing fine. But the way, if you watch them, zoom in on them individually every night, you will see a handful of plays from each guy that will drive you mad. And you just cannot have that at that level of consistency and hope to be a competitive NHL squad. It just doesn't happen. And Tage, I have faith he will figure it out. I think once he gets that into the swing of the season, he always starts a little slow. But there are things he needs to clean up that are easy and just it's a choice to make to play smarter, more responsible hockey. And I think with that will come increased production because he'll be in better spots and he'll be trusted more. And it needs to be better. It just needs to be better. That's the bottom line.
We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, Paul Hamilton on the Sabres, and then the weekend, I promise, we'll talk all football and Bills after that. But I think there's a parallel here between the Sabres and the team they're facing this weekend. The Bills are facing this weekend. We just talked about this. I just did a Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast with David Ferones of Miami, the South Florida Sun Sentinel. And when you think about like where they are, their organization, their decisions, where they've been, where the direction is in the future, and you just don't know. And you're like, how do you compete knowing what the roster is, what the landscape is around you, and where you've been so far, and the decisions that have added up? And that's what it feels like is going on here with the Sabres. But hey, you want the good news? You want the silver lining? They're still only 3 points back of a wild card spot because of what we said. The East is just not that good right now, and it's certainly not top heavy. There are opportunities here for you to catch up. We'll get with Paul. We'll do Sabres a little bit here with him, and then we'll get into the Bills and the Dolphins and the matchup this weekend in Miami. Sal Capaccio with you in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. 803-0550 is the number to call. Bills, Dolphins, it's Miami week. We'll talk about that and get Paul's thoughts on that as well after this timeout. All right, Paul Hamilton joins me here on the Wester Hotline. Paul, last night down at the arena, watched the Sabres, like many of you, lose 3-0 to the St. Louis Blues, and I'm still scratching my head over it and frustrated about it. And Paul, I have to be honest, I just told our listeners here, after the first goal, the shorthanded goal, I said, I am just going to turn on football, and I cannot watch this. I'm so frustrated. Overreaction? I mean, the numbers seem to indicate the Sabres just got maybe a bit unlucky, and I know Rasmus Dahlin talked about it. Or was this a game where they just did not play well enough and deserved what they got?
A little bit of both. I mean, Lindy Ruff pointed out is absolutely true. I mean, right before the shorthanded goal, Doan on the power play gets a pass. Quinn puts a nifty move on, gives him a great pass. He's right there in the crease. And a great glove save by Hoffer. Seconds later, Quinn turns the puck over. You don't get a big save from Lukanen. Not an easy save, but winning teams get that save. And that's 1-0. And it could have been 1-0. Who knows how the game changes if the power play goal goes in and it's 1-0 Buffalo instead of 1-0 St. Louis. So, you know, and but through it all, I mean, the second goal, Lukanen will want back. There's no question. But at the end of the day, he only gave up 2 goals.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a lot, you know.
Nope.
You still should be able to win a hockey game at home when you give up 2 goals. But Tage Thompson, 3 of his 5 goals came in that 2-game series with Toronto. He just is in a huge slump. Alex Tuch only has 5 goals, and it's making him do things that maybe he shouldn't do. Like, for example, on the penalty kill at the end of the game, he gets the puck, produces a 2-on-1. The two he's with is Matias Samuelsson and Justin Falk, a veteran defenseman, does what he's supposed to do. He takes the pass away. Goaltender has the shooter. The defenseman has the pass, so you don't get a layup. Well, Alex Tuch is a 36-goal scorer, and he comes down the slot and decides to force a pass to Samuelsson, who has 9 goals in 220-some-odd NHL games. And it's like the pass had no chance to be completed, none. And I would want a 36-goal scorer to shoot 100 times out of 100 there, you know, to off the 2-on-1. But, that, you know, just things like that that are going on. But, they, you know, when you are as injured as they are, you can't have your key guys in slumps. And, you know, you're without Norris and Benson from your top line. You're without Zucker and Kulik, who could fill in on your top line. I mean, so they have a lot of very key injuries. That's why I said they were lucky to get a point against a very good Utah team with the people the Sabres had out. To me, they were lucky to get a point because that's a lot of injuries that are going to be hard for them to overcome. So, you know, fast forward now, look what's coming ahead. I mean, that's only their second regulation loss in 11, and they basically are just keeping their heads above water with tiebreakers.
Yeah, I mean, they're on a pace for 82 points. I mean, right?
Yeah.
a point a game. It's not that's not nearly good enough, despite the fact that the rest of the East isn't good enough.
Yeah, I mean, so to sit there and have 2 regulation losses in 11 games and to be just keeping your head above water is kind of crazy. I mean, you should be sprinting ahead by doing that because you got away with your 3-game losing streak to start the year, and now you play much better, but you're not getting anywhere. And here comes this 4-game road trip against Carolina, who you normally do not play well in that rink at all. Colorado, that's not one of their favorite rinks. And Detroit.
Utah.
We saw what a good team they are.
Yep.
And then Detroit. They could wind up ending this with a 6-game losing streak. You know, and now here we are again, if that happens. So their key guys have got to get this figured out, and they've got to get it figured out now because they can't afford to go on the road and lose to 3 teams right off the bat after you lose your last 2 at home, because then you are going to be behind. Then you are going to be in last place in the conference, and then it's going to be catch-up mode for the rest of the year. So their key players have got to get this figured out, and they got to get it figured out now.
There was so much talk when the schedule came out, Paul. 10 of the first 14 games at home. Well, we're there now. It's 14 games. They've played 10 at home. Now they're going on the road. They did not do what they needed to do in those 10 home games out of 14. They have 5 total wins, 4 in regulation. They're 5-9. That's their record, 4 regulation wins. That said, as you just laid it out, tough games coming up on the road. You know how these things go with hockey teams. Is this the type of team that maybe getting away from home a little bit here could be a little bit better for them? I mean, we saw that last year in November, right around this same time when they went to San Jose and they come out and like, oh my God, they're in a playoff spot. But then everything went terrible after that, obviously. But that was a nice road trip for them.
No, but don't forget, 2 of those road losses were right in the beginning. I mean, in their last 8 home games are 5-1-2.
Yep.
So they got the home thing kind of straightened out a little bit and became a pretty good home team. So I would say once they got past that 3-game losing streak, they did take advantage of their home schedule until these last 2 games against Utah and against St. Louis. So, you know, I guess I would push back a little bit on that just because, unfortunately, it took them 3 games to get it going.
Sure.
You know, those 3 games were unacceptable. They were being outworked. They weren't playing well at all. And through it all, they still were in 1-goal games and easily could have maybe picked up points in all 3, even though they played poorly. But still, the fact remains as they started the season on a 3-game losing streak and played poorly, at least they stopped it at 3, and it didn't turn into 7. It didn't turn into 10. It didn't turn into 13. And that's what I would say should worry a fan right now is, do they get players back on Saturday? Even if they get players back, they have trouble winning in Carolina anyway, because Carolina is such a good team and it's just not a rink. Buffalo has never matched up well against them, and it's mm-hmm. not a rink they play well in. So I think that would be the worry right now. Is this the stretch where this is going to start getting away from this hockey team? And that's why they got to get their guys, their key guys, Dahlin, Tuck, and Thompson. They have to start playing up to their potential, and they have to start now. They can't go on this road trip and be 1-3 or 0-4.
Yeah, to your point, 5-3-2 at home overall, so you get 12 points out of that, which is not bad at all, but they have not won a road game yet, so this is their chance. They've only played 4 road games. They
they do have
0-2-2 right now, so we'll see. All right, let's talk about the injuries. Anything new to report from last night, whether that's guys coming back or guys that we're concerned about going forward?
Well, with Zucker, it's just he's extremely ill. That's why, you know, he missed 2 games, but you would hope by now that maybe, you know, he's starting to feel better. With fluid in the ear, which is a different way of just saying inner ear infection, who knows how long that will take. Maybe Kulik would be ready on Saturday also. And don't forget, the IR is retroactive. So they, even though they didn't go on IR that day, it goes back to the last game they played. So they are eligible to come off IR on Saturday if they're feeling well. So that certainly would help to be able to get those 2 players back. Maybe would help Tuck and Thompson to get rolling too, as far, because Tuck is had more great opportunities than Thompson has. Tuck has been producing a lot of great opportunities, and he's just being stopped by goaltenders. Thompson just doesn't seem like he's getting a lot of scoring opportunities lately. You know, Ruff kind of wants him to shoot more. And you know what, Sal? I don't think it was fair what they did to any of them last night. They, without practicing, put Thompson on a line with Auslund and Roseanne. All that did for 40 minutes was have 2 young players go, where's Tage? Where's Tage? They were totally intimidated by Tage Thompson. Not that Tage Thompson was being a jerk, but they were intimidated by the presence of Tage Thompson. So instead of playing their game, they were looking for Tage Thompson all night long. Where's Tage? Where's Tage? We got to pass the puck to Tage. Where is he? And to me, it's just not fair. Why would you put the 3 of them together without even a practice together? You know, the first time they ever were together was on the lines in the beginning of the game in warm-up. And I just, and for 40 minutes, it was a colossal failure. And that was the next thing I was thinking is, why did you let this go for 40 minutes? It just wasn't, it was out of sync. It wasn't working at all. But I thought that was a huge mistake by Lindy Ruff. I don't think it was fair to the two young players, and I don't think it was fair to Thompson. Not necessarily that he did it, but he did it without letting them practice together.
Last thing, on that same note, is it fair what's going on in the goaltending room right now? Because I see UPL out last night. I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't need this guy to play right now, but Lions played well. I know that there's been some issues there, and I know health plays into this and illnesses and all that kind of stuff, but I just feel like, from my observation, the kind of holistically, Paul, that what they're doing at goaltending doesn't seem like it's benefiting the team right now.
No, again, the Lions been great. I mean, he just had the one game where it looked like he was starting to fatigue, so he had a night off and played great the next game. He was phenomenal.
Okay.
He went save for save against Utah. He was great in that game. It was just the one game where he started showing fatigue, and maybe that's what Ruff was waiting to see. Is all right, when he starts showing fatigue, we'll give him a night off, and that's what they did. And that's when Luukkonen came in and played really, really well. But again, you know, the second goal on Luukkonen yesterday was a goal that he would want back, and the first one.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
As I said, championship teams get a big save there. You know, when you know there's a mistake like that and you're on a power play and there's a breakaway. It's not an easy save, but you would want a big save from your goaltender there. If you're going to be an elite number one goaltender, you got to help your team out there. You got to bail your guys out. and he didn't. But at the end of the night, he only gave up two, you know, yep.
That's right.
But still, it wasn't what you would want. But Lyon, I think, has been great. I don't think he's really slipped at all.
No, I agree with that. I guess I'm just wondering about just the rotation of them. And I know Ellis is there as well, and we saw some nice things from him. But you're right, he needs a night off. They have rotated each of the last four games, by the way. Lyon, UPL, Lyon, UPL. Back to Lyon, I guess, on Saturday night then, I would guess.
I would guess then. And Ellis finally dressed for a game. He hadn't dressed since, he had the back spasms. So Ellis did dress for the game as the backup for the first time since the back spasm. So that tells us that he's ready to hop in net if needed. I kind of thought he might play against his old team last night, but, you know, Lukanen was coming off a very good game. So I understand why. I mean, he's supposed to be their number one goaltender. So you saw a number one goaltender in the game before. So it's like, okay, let's see what we got here. Let's try it again. Well, you didn't see a number one goaltender last night. So what happens? All right, Lyon plays. Somebody's going to have to play either in Utah or in Denver. It's back-to-back. So is it Ellis? Is he going to get another opportunity? Or are they going to see where Lukanen's at? He's saying, all right, he just had one bad game, one good game. Where is he at? But somebody's going to have to play other than Lyon in that two-game against Utah and Denver in the back-to-back situation.
Paul, what's the first Bills-Dolphins game you remember?
Bills-Dolphins game? Do I have to date myself? I can go back to the 60s.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I don't remember a lot of it.
Yeah.
But I do remember the colors of the game, Miami, okay. And, you know, the dolphin in the pool. And
the Orange Bowl.
Yeah, the Orange Bowl and Howard Twilley and that group. I think they might have had a guy named George Wilson at quarterback at some point back then.
Wow.
I don't know if Greasy was in the 60s. I know he was in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think if it was.
And you remember the 20 straight in the 70s, obviously.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Remember that. There's no question about that, but I guess I date myself a little bit.
It's all right. Joe Ferguson was the legend of the game last week with Jim Kelly. It's really good to see him on the field, by the way.
And he's
the Bills' first quarterback I remember.
Yep. No, I remember Jack Kemp again. I don't remember much of. I don't remember him playing. I just remember the name. You know, hearing Jack Kemp and Daryl LaMonica's name being brought up around the house. But, of course, back then you don't see that many Bills games because the home games aren't on TV. And, you know, there's really not that big a coverage. The road games are on TV, but I was pretty young back then. I don't really remember too much of that.
I just remember the Orange Bowl, and it was always Cricky and Trumpy, right, doing the games with the Bills down in Miami growing up in the 1980s. Hey, Paul, enjoy your weekend, buddy. We'll talk to you next week. And, of course, at PHAM1717, WGR550.com. Thanks a lot, man.
Sounds good. Take care.
All right, you got it. That is Paul Hamilton. And, of course, his appearances on WGR brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. A quick timeout here. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the hour. We'll get to hour number two, 11 a.m. hour, is when Sean McDermott joins us here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, back here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, we are heading to the top of the hour, and then we're going to get to 11 a.m., and in the 11 a.m. hour, we're going to talk with Bills head coach Sean McDermott. We have a lot to get to as far as the Bills injury report is concerned for this weekend's game at the Miami Dolphins. Bills take on the Dolphins. And look, the Bills need a victory here to keep pace with the New England Patriots. We're going to talk all about all the games going on in the NFL, but that is a monster game between the Patriots and the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers are going to have a lot to say about what happens in the AFC East over the next couple weeks because they play the Patriots and then they play the Bills. But in the meantime, the Bills just have to take care of business. What is the line? Are the Bills favored by more than a touchdown? They have to be more than a touchdown on Miami, right?
I think more than a touchdown, yeah.
Okay. Looking right now. Hold on. I thought I saw 9. There's no way, right? Yep, 8.5.
Yeah, 8.5. In some markets.
On the road.
9.5 in some markets as well. So.
Okay. Well, we'll see. Tonight, I noticed that tonight it is Green Bay. basketball team, Wisconsin Green Bay, is playing at UB. Did you know this tonight?
I did not.
And
know.
The Green Bay head coach is Mike Gottlieb. So you're like probably thinking you might have no idea what I'm talking about right now, to be honest with you, Joe, but I'm about to tell you, like, Mike Gottlieb, if you follow college basketball and you're my age at all, and you went to Syracuse, especially, or Big East, you kind of just don't like Mike Gottlieb. So I'm like literally thinking, should I go to the game tonight and just sit behind the Green Bay bench and heckle Mike Gottlieb?
Just to root
that's
against
what
him
I
and heckle
do.
Him? That'd,
just,
be, that'd
just,
be cool.
Just to heckle Mike Gottlieb. That's I might just want to do that tonight, to be honest with you. I'm not going to. I'm a better man than that. All right? I don't want to be viral all over the place. Here, look at this radio host, Bill's sideline reporter, Sal Capaccio, just sitting behind Mike Gottlieb and heckling him, right?
Oh,
don't want to
do
that. But honestly, no, he's fun to do that with because he's kind of been like a Syracuse prodder and Syracuse hater over the years. And he went to Notre Dame, and there was this credit card scandal, and he got kicked out, and people give him crap for it. And he's a radio host. He's still hosting his radio show while he's the head coach of this team. It's weird, man.
That's cool, though. Doing
yeah, I know,
both,
right?
Right?
I know. It's cool that way,
for
too.
For the station, you get the inside information from the source, right? You don't have to
I know, right?
You don't have to interview
I know.
Him.
Well, he was on, like, ESPN for a long time, and it was always like, yeah, and he was, like, a number – he was a big – you know how you have a perception of announcers, they don't like your team, right? You know that, right?
Yeah, like certain,
this guy just hates me. Look at Collinsworth, he hates us, right?
Like everybody
like
says.
That's Gottlieb in Syracuse, by the way. That's just what it is. So
okay.
On behalf of many Syracuse Orange fans and alum around the country, I was thinking about volunteering my services to go to the game tonight and heckle Mike Gottlieb, but I'm not going to be able to do that. I actually do have another event to go to otherwise. I might do that. Not really. All right, we're going to take a timeout here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We are going to talk with Bills head coach Sean McDermott on the other side of this, and we'll get an injury report, an update on what's going on with the Bills and their game in Miami. And then, of course, Pat Hammer is going to come your way at 11:30 a.m. here on WGR. Okay, let me just start with this second hour here, all right? Sean McDermott coming your way here in just a little while in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Injury update for Sunday. It's live radio. I'm human. I apologize. My bad. It's not, of course, Mike Gottlieb. It's Doug Gottlieb. I knew that. I was so fired up about the guy. I kept saying his name wrong. Mike Gottlieb is a politician in Florida, okay? Doug Gottlieb is the head coach of Green Bay coming to Buffalo tonight. So thank you, Jim C. Hold on, who else? Wait, okay, thank you, Jim C. Circle the Wagons 2025, Mike Campaign, Anya. So who else? Anybody else that told me how wrong? I apologize. You guys are very quick, but I love you for that. Thank you. I'm human. I made a mistake, and I said his name wrong. But you know what? Maybe that's part of the troll, too. I should go. I could just go to UB and call Mike tonight. That might be part of the troll. You might not know who I'm talking about. I actually do have another event to go to tonight, so I'm not going to do that. Anyway, thank you very much for those who were so quick to point out my mistake. I don't know why I kept saying Mike, but it is Doug Gottlieb. Yes, you get the point. All right. Now that we've rewound and did that, but man, some of those people just tweeted me about it, Joe. And called you in the break, by the way. People were calling the radio station.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell him it's Doug. He sucks. Capaccio.
I didn't have anyone that aggressive, thankfully, but.
It's all good, man. It's all good. Sorry. It's like the other day. Like, so we all have crutches when we talk about things or say things. Do you have any? Joe, is there a phrase or a word or something you sometimes say and you're like, you know, I get in the habit of that. I got to get out of it. Anything like that you notice for yourself?
Oh, I've shut it down big time. It used to be and whatnot after everything. Like trying
to
just put
that's
together
good.
My
next thought. You're self-aware though, right?
Yeah. Someone said something to me, a different boss at a different place I used to work and just for weekend hours. And yeah, he mentioned something to me one day and I've thought about it every day since. So that is very, very clear thing in my mind not to do.
There's nothing wrong with that. I think that, you know, we are in this business that, you know, you should always be improving in anything you do in life. You should always be improving. And I never take offense when someone says you say this too much, like meaning like a word or a phrase. I don't. People tell me, but sometimes people are pretty aggressive about it and like, oh my God, you say this all the time. Like, well, I talk for a living. I'm on the radio. I am human. And sometimes we have a crutch, and meaning like something we lean on. And for me, there's been different things over the years. The latest one I'm trying to get out of is when I'm talking with people, I do this all the time with Jeremy and Joe and with Shopin the Bulldog. And they ask me a question and I say, look, and then I say something, right? Like, just like, it's my way. It's the same thing when callers call a show and they go, how you doing? It's the same thing.
Right.
Like it's a conversation starter for you for that sentence, right? For me, it's look, the Bills, blah, 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 blah. And I do that. I don't mean to do it. It just comes out of my mouth like that.
Yeah, it's just how you formulate a thought. It's just kind of natural. It's, you know, the same thing. You know, I just did it. That's another one I'm self-aware with. You know what I mean? And all that stuff, too.
Yeah.
It just happens. In between thoughts helps break the silence for a second. But a pause isn't the worst thing. That's kind of what I've learned.
So when we talk with Sean McDermott, I, of course, will ask him about Bill's injuries. But we also have something else really cool to ask him about, because it was just announced a little while ago. This coming from Adam Schefter. That Buffalo Bills offensive tackle Deion Dawkins is the Week 10 NFLPA Community MVP for treating three different classes to special outings through the Deion's Dreamers Snow Day field trip program. And if you go to Adam Schefter's Twitter account, at Adam Schefter, he has more on this. And I'm sure maybe the Bills also tweeted it out. I'm sorry, I didn't see it from them specifically here. But pretty cool for Deion. Really, really cool for Deion. And I know he does so much for the community. And his whole family does, his mom here, and she's a big part of all that, and Deion's Dreamers. And, you know, Deion, I on the radio station, you hear me do stuff for Northland Workforce Training Center along with Deion, and I've been at these events with him, and I see what he gives back. So very cool. We'll ask Sean about that and his impact, Deion's impact, not only in the community and what he's seen, but, of course, on the football team and what he's meant to the Buffalo Bills. So very, very cool. And, you know, part of that first draft class for McDermott as well. 803-0550, the number to call here on the Nordtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. We'll keep you updated on when Sean McDermott is going to come your way. I am looking right now to see if I have anything on that. But no, I know that they are doing production meetings today before he comes on here. And that would be with CBS. You know who's calling the game, right, Joe? You see who's calling the game?
Was it Andrew Catalan? Was that one of them?
Yes.
Yes, yeah.
Andrew Catalan.
And Charles Davis.
Along with Charles Davis. Yep. I think, is there someone else in that mix? I think I have to go look exactly. But
there might be. I already knew the two.
Good group, though. I like that. I think Andrew, and you know what's really cool when Andrew does the games for the Bills is he does preseason games for the Bills. It is Jason McCourty and AJ Ross. Okay. AJ Ross on the sidelines, Charles Davis and Jason McCourty up in the booth. Andrew does preseason games for the Bills. So I like when Andrew, for the fans of the Bills, I like when Andrew does the games because he's more familiar with the Bills. It really helps. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, he does him and Steve Tasker do the preseason games, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Yeah.
You got it. Yeah, that's exactly right. So yeah, for sure. All right. Thank you very much for those of you having fun with me and understanding that I was I just made a mistake and I kept calling Doug Gottlieb Mike Gottlieb, and Mike Campaign says he was just confused. Joe says Sal is a Syracuse fan. It's totally fine. I love that. And Jim, you're the best, buddy. Thank you, Jim. I appreciate you saying that. Oh my, I feel like an idiot though. I kept doing that. I kept calling him Mike, and I'm like, I knew it too. Joe, I go to the break and I see the phone lines light up. I'm like, oh crap, I said his name wrong, didn't I? I did something wrong. When I go to break, unless there's a contest running and I see phone lines just light up during the break, that is a cue that I said something horribly wrong.
Yeah, just lighting up. Yeah, they're two simple names though, Doug and Mike. So
Doug and Mike.
In my mind, one syllable, easily interchangeable.
That's all right.
Just, you know.
Hey, by the way, that being said, let's give a little plug to tonight, by the way. At UB, at UB's Alumni Arena, you are going to have your 1-0 Bulls taking on the 0-1 Green Bay. Do you know their name? Do you know the name of the Green Bay team? The basketball team?
No, I can look, though.
No. I'm asking you if you know.
No,
I'm going to tell you.
No, I do not.
You would never guess it. It's the Green Bay Phoenix.
That is the most contradicting, that makes no
sense.
It is
the weirdest name for the Green Bay Phoenix, right? Isn't Green Bay like this, you know, Midwestern wholesome place? You think about the Packers, old school, and like the Phoenix is like this totally new wave type of you know, mascot.
Yeah, it's like a flaming bird, right? Like that's what it is. And then Green Bay is known to get historically cold, so it's like the complete opposite.
Yes, that's exactly right. So Green Bay Phoenix at UB tonight. Bills in Miami against the Miami Dolphins on Sunday at 1 p.m. And yes, it's going to be a bit warm. It's going to be in the 80s. There's a chance of rain. We'll get more of that from Patrick Hammer. If you're heading down there, be ready for that. Always be prepared for rain. But Pat's going to give us the lowdown on the weather at 11:30 a.m. As far as this game is concerned and the standings are concerned, I want to run through all of that. What I'm going to do right now is take a quick timeout because I want to make sure we have space for Sean McDermott when he calls here. And then we'll get to Patrick Hammer at 11:30. So let's do that now. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here. We'll set up your week, including the Bills, obviously, but everything else going on in the NFL. And then we'll have time for Sean McDermott when he calls here. And we talk about the Buffalo Bills and Miami Dolphins and the injury report on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I was really hoping that Doug Gottlieb's middle name was Mike. But it's not. It's Mitchell. Douglas Mitchell Gottlieb. John in Dunkirk's been listening along to that about that conversation and has a story he wants to share. What's up, John?
Hey, Sal. Well, we've met a couple of times. I always come up and say hi to Todd Brody and then Greg Harvey.
Yep, yep.
And Booth. Anyway, so if you remember, Doug Gottlieb played for the Oklahoma State Cowboys.
Yep.
And they were in the first round regional in Buffalo. His Cowboys played Bobby Knight's Indiana team, and they beat Indiana. And that was Bobby Knight's last game as an Indiana coach. So there's another connection with Doug and Buffalo that I just wanted to share with you. And the funny thing was as Coach Knight is walking off the court, I was doing camera for CBS, and I go up to Coach Knight, and I said, Coach, Jim Nance is waiting for you in the green room. And I got one of the greatest comebacks ever in my career. Hey, man, I'm not your coach. And that was all he said to me as he's walking.
Well, listen, though, I think, though, I because people have been correcting me all morning, I think I have to correct you. I think they lost to Pepperdine.
I know that Coach
in 2000. Knight, wait, that would be 2000, right? I'm looking up right now. That was the 2000 would have been the NCAA tournament. I'm looking. It said Bobby Knight's last game was a loss to Pepperdine.
Oh, I apologize then, but I know that they lost to I believe Doug Gottlieb lost Coach Knight's team. In
that's okay. I just want it's all good. It's all good. Thank you very much. So I appreciate that, John. No, thank you. Like I said, hey, we're all human and nobody's perfect. But I thought I don't think his last loss was against Oklahoma State, but that was Bobby Knight, the Pepperdine. That was his last loss, I believe. And it was here in Buffalo. Yeah, we're going to have Sean McDermott here coming up in just a little while. He'll be giving us a call, and we'll get to the injury update here on WGR Sports Radio 550, as well as a look ahead to the Miami Dolphins. Okay, so let's take a look around the NFL while we do this, and we wait for Sean McDermott to give us a call and think about what's happening in week number 10. It all started last night with the Denver Broncos and the Las Vegas Raiders. And I have to be honest with you, even though the Broncos are now 8-2, they win this game 10-7. I think I came away from that game with more wondering about the Broncos than thinking that they're more concerns, more questions than answers. Is that how you want to put it? Like, if you're doing Denver radio today, I don't think you're feeling great except you got the win. It feels like where Bills fans have been with their team several times when, oh, you know what? Yeah, they're playing. They got the win, but, hey, man, they're not playing really well on offense. The Broncos, just their offense is not very good right now. They got a slow start, but this time they didn't really, kick it into high gear in the fourth quarter either. Bo Nix only threw for 150 yards, one touchdown, two picks. He had a 54 rating. But they won. The Raiders are they make mistake after mistake after mistake. And they had a chance and chances and didn't matter. But hey, you know what? You could look at it either way of a Bills fan. Broncos win. Keeps the Chiefs. They're now 3 wins ahead of the Chiefs, 8-5. They play each other in a week. But you also could look at it the other way and go, it's another team the Bills they're chasing here, and they have to keep pace with. All right, so did you know that there's a international game this weekend?
Yes, because Sauce Gardner is involved, and he was recently in one, right, with the Jets. They were international a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So he's like, gonna be... it's a double-dip international season for him.
They're playing in Berlin in this one,
Berlin,
actually.
Yeah.
This is the Falcons and the Colts. So when you get up on Sunday morning, make sure your fantasy teams are all set, folks, by 9:30 a.m. because this is a Berlin game, Europe. It's Falcons and Colts. And it's going to be a really big game for the Colts to try and bounce back from a loss last week in Pittsburgh after trading for Sauce Gardner. They're looking to go 8-2 to stay and keep pace with not only the Broncos, who already won, but maybe the Patriots. And the Falcons, they're looking to get back on track. They had a game last week that, how did they not? They didn't close the deal against the Patriots. 3-5 for the Falcons. They need a win here as well. Saints at the suddenly interesting Panthers, who are 5-4. I mean, the Panthers were like this team, like, yeah, they won some games, but they go to Green Bay and win last week. I mean, they should beat the Saints. They're going to be 6-4 with Atlanta on deck. I mean, that's a team that's in an interesting spot right now. You look at the NFC standings in the NFC, Carolina is a half game out of a playoff spot. Half game. Halfway through the year. So, good for them.
I don't know what to make of that team.
Like, I know.
They play
I don't
so
either.
Well some weeks.
I can't imagine they're still going to be in this spot at the end of the year.
No, I can't either. I'm with you on that.
Saints 1-8. They're tracking towards maybe having the first pick in the draft. We'll see. Saints-Panthers 1 o'clock. Giants-Bears 1 o'clock. I am listening to... You know, when you get on like YouTube or you're watching some video and another video comes up and all these things start happening. And I see one yesterday. It says from WFAN in New York, our sister station there, how like the Giants basically fired Brian Daboll, but then didn't do it. And I'm like, what is this all about? And I'm listening to the host, and apparently there's a story in New York. Okay, Joe, there's a story in New York from one of the hosts at FAN who says that they were so mad about the Denver loss that ownership basically said when they get off the plane, they're going to fire Brian Daboll. And then during the plane ride home, they decided and changed their mind not to do it.
Right. Yeah. I remember seeing whispers of that on Twitter. I saw that circulating around.
Okay. So you saw that. And I'm like, I don't know if I believe that or not, but interesting. I don't know if Brian Daboll is the coach next year in New York. I feel like ownership, especially, unfortunately, their owner, Mara, he's dealing with a health issue right now, and he has cancer. And, you know, that's something that is going to be obviously challenging for the entire organization and them. And I don't know if that's a situation where, you know, they're going to be thinking about, you know, making changes at head coach while he's going through that. And, of course, they want to do what's best for the organization, but it could be. And then, of course, you have the Bears at 5-3, Giants at Bears. Bears looking to, you know, continue on winning, too. They've won some games in a row, and they won last week in Cincinnati, obviously. But, you know, we'll see what happens in that game, Chicago at New York. We'll get to the rest of those in just a little while. In the meantime, it's New York and Chicago, I should say. In the meantime, Bills at Dolphins, Bills head coach Sean McDermott on the way here right now on WGR.
You're listening to Buffalo Bills Football Friday on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Kaleida Health, the official healthcare provider of the Buffalo Bills. And by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com. Now, here's Sal Capaccio with Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott joins me right now on the West Her Hotline. Good Friday morning to you, coach, and welcome back to the Football Friday here on WGR.
Good Friday morning to you guys as well. Looking forward to a great weekend for everybody in the Western New York community and beyond as we travel down to Miami together.
We'll talk about that game in just a second, coach. Let's rewind, obviously, real big win and victory for your team last Sunday against the Kansas City Chiefs. I remember you were on with Chopin the Bulldog maybe last year. It might have been right after the Kansas City game. And I think Mike asked you a question about how confident you were. And your response always stuck with me. You were like, I'm always confident in our team, right? Can you kind of take me into that mindset of confidence and how much that plays into, you know, how you feel your team is, you know, kind of progressing through the week, regardless of circumstance and knowing how they're going to play?
Yeah, no, that's huge, right? Huge from a leadership standpoint, huge from a head coach's standpoint and coach in general, teacher as well. I mean, you just think about if you were a student or a player in this case, and you hear your head coach say, I'm not very confident in who we have and how we're doing things. I mean, that doesn't usually bode well for future performances. So we're here to get the best out of our players and coach them up. And I'm looking forward, like I said, to getting down there this weekend.
Obviously a big loss for your team with Michael Hoyt now injured last week. And you touched on it just the other day, you know, young guys stepping up. You guys didn't make any deals at the deadline. That shows confidence in the roster that you have. Can you kind of take us through like the journey of some young players, like in this case, it would be Landon Jackson, it'd be Javon Solomon, and you know, the roles that, you know, they may have to play here going forward, and A, not putting too much on their plate, but also understanding that, you know, they have to step up and play key roles here.
Yeah. Again, from a coach's standpoint, and a teacher's standpoint, like I said, part of one of the great joys of coaching, teaching, which is really what we do as coaches, is seeing young players, seeing young people develop and for the light to come on and to take an opportunity and make the most of it. So Landon will have an opportunity this weekend more than likely to do that. And, you know, we continue the journey with the other key members that are those young guys that you saw already for a couple games now, Max, Jordan Hancock, and the list goes on.
Sean, Bills offensive tackle Deion Dawkins has been named the Week 10 NFLPA Community MVP for treating three different classes to special outings through his Deion Dreamers Snow Day field trip program. This is a young man who's been with you every step of the way, first draft class for you. What has Deion meant to you and to this organization and community?
Yeah, you know, we want to win games. There's no doubt about it. That's what we're here to do. Beyond that, there's a bigger purpose and a higher purpose for myself, for our players, for our community, for our organization, and that's to make an impact in our community. And I'm extremely proud when I hear stories of guys like Deion and beyond, you know, making that impact, that positive impact in our community. And it's a real thing, right? We're here just not just for winning. We want to win, like I mentioned, but that imprint, that footprint that we create lasts for a long time.
Sean, you have a lengthy injury report as far as names are concerned. Three DNPs, four, with Sam Franklin yesterday. Four DNPs yesterday. Is there anybody that you know is not going to play and you're declaring out for Sunday right now?
So we have two guys, those being A.J. Epenesa and Shaq Thompson. Both will be out. Daquan Jones, Joshua Palmer, Taron Johnson, and Christian Benford will all be limited today and questionable, listed as for the game and their designation. So we'll see how that goes today and as we move forward through the weekend.
Joey Bosa, James Cook, both DNPs, but limited yesterday. How do you feel they got through practice?
Yeah, very well. Yesterday was a good day for both of those guys, and they should be pretty good moving forward here for us through the weekend.
And of course, folks, that is the Barnes Firm Injury Report. Injured for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Sean, you've had, maybe I just say, a little bit inordinate, feels like, amount of guys pop up on the injury report after practices this year. As a coach, is that something that you look at and say, why is that happening? Or is it just, hey, this is football, that's going to happen? It's just something that, you know, you have to kind of deal with as a season goes on.
Well, we look at everything. There's no doubt. Anytime you get an indicator of something, a red flag or a green flag, it's something that's, you know, good. On the other hand, you look at it and you try and understand why. And in this case, a lot of these injuries that are popping up through practice are more are occurring earlier in practice in what we call the individual period, which is not very physical. They're usually soft tissue injuries to this point, unfortunately. So it's, you know, we look at our schedule, we look at our approach, we really try and take care of the players, yet at the same time, we do have to get work in. So the fact that they're happening early in practice where there's not a lot of contact is a little bit even more disturbing from a soft tissue standpoint.
Max Harrison got his first interception last week. What was the what was it like with him in the locker room after the game with him? And boy, such a smile on that young man when he had the interception. And I know I talked to him. He said he might have the ball like with him when he sleeps at night, like a little kid at Christmas. By the way,
yeah, that's fitting for Max's personality. He's a great young man, off to a good start. It is important we take it one game at a time. But just to celebrate that moment for a second here, he's earned it. He's worked extremely hard. really fought through some big time adversity early on in his career and his journey this season. And, you know, I applaud him for his effort, his work with our training staff and our strength and conditioning staff and beyond. So it was really great to see him experience a moment like that. And, you know, it's a confidence builder and something he can build on as we move forward.
And, of course, facing a team like the Miami Dolphins, who have a lot of weapons, Max Harrison and the rest of your defense, is going to have their hands full with a lot of things that they bring to the table. What do you see from this team that, despite their record, I mean, you look, Devon Achane still 5.0 yards a carry. We know they have Jalen Waddle on that side. Their offense and the things that they're going to try to do to you and what you have to handle.
Yeah, highly ranked statistically, and they move the ball well and score points. I mean, you look at just their kind of their track record this year in terms of scoring points. I know they had kind of a down game perhaps against the Ravens, but other than that, they've scored, you know, 20, 30 points a week, pretty much averaging since, you know, the season got going after that week one loss to the Colts. So extremely talented, extremely powerful in terms of scoring points and explosive.
All right, Coach, thanks a lot. And we'll catch up next week, Friday, of course. Safe travels down to Florida and good luck against Miami.
All right. Thanks so much, Sal. Have a great weekend, everyone.
All right, you too. Thank you very much. That is Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott, and he has declared out linebacker Shaq Thompson and defensive end A.J. Epenesa. So that's good news for Christian Benford, who is going to be limited today and questionable on the injury report. It's also good news for Taron Johnson, Daquan Jones, and Joshua Palmer for them to be questionable. They have been practicing. We'll see if the Bills get them back. But how about that? A little surprise for me that Benford will be questionable and not ruled out after not practicing this week or at least yesterday after being limited. And I'm glad that, you know, Sean spoke a little bit about the soft tissue injuries happening at practice. It is something they're going to have to look at. You know, why have they had so many injuries pop up at practice? Look, you can't hurt there. I did it again. Look, you can't help sometimes when a guy like Daquan Jones gets stepped on, right? But some of the soft tissue injuries that have popped up, those are the things that, you know, the Bills will be looking at. So no AJ Epenesa, no Shaq Thompson. What does that mean? That means Landon Jackson's most likely getting an opportunity this week, folks. All right. Landon Jackson comes into this game as the fourth defensive end. Rousseau, Bosa, Solomon, and Jackson. Javon Solomon's going to have to play a role outside, inside, and all the different ways they like to use him. Do we have Pat Hammer now? I think we do. So we're going to go to him right now on the Wester Hotline. Actually, we got Pat's open. Let's play it. Of course, got to get down with a little Pat Hammer, WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist.
Break it down.
When you need to know what to wear, is it going to rain? Is it going to snow? What to prepare for? You're about to find out. Here's Sal Capaccio with your game day forecast with Channel 2 weatherman extraordinaire. Here's Patrick.
Have a time.
Pat Hammer joins me now on the Wester Hotline. All right, buddy. We're going to Miami this week. I know I am.
Yes,
I'm really, really loving this 80 to 80 plus degree weather. Then when I come back, it's going to be like 60 degrees the other way. I don't know, really. You tell me. But what a big change it's going to be. You know what it's going to happen? This is what happens. And I'm not kidding you. They do this. Have you been to a game in Miami, a Bills game or anything like that? Have you ever been down there?
I've been to Miami numbers, not to a game, though, no.
Okay, so what they do is, especially when the Bills play, obviously, later in the year, and this might be one of those cases where this happens, they do a little trolling. They put on the video board, current temperature in Miami, current temperature in Buffalo. That's what they do, just to kind of make, oh yeah, they do that. They do that all the time.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Well, then I think that's kind of a badge, that's like a badge of honor. Like, yeah, it's November,
right.
and this is real life. This isn't Miami fantasy land, you know, in November and it's 80, right?
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
We'll
handle it. We do it here. We could do it here and be like, here's our temperature. There's your temperature. We like it here, right? I mean, come on.
Exactly. 100%. So, yeah, they'll have plenty of trolling to do, given that for our fans that are going down there for the game, when you be, you're returning, it'll be a different world returning to Buffalo on Monday versus when you left.
All right, so let's walk us through it. So you got people down there right now in Miami, already in South Florida for the game. You got people traveling down this weekend. What does it look like this weekend in Miami, Sunday for the game specifically, and maybe even Sunday evening in Miami after the game?
Yeah, so the weather in Florida, two games in Florida, right? I think the Buccaneers have a game, too, just up the road.
Wait, I thought you were talking about the other one. Syracuse at Miami tomorrow, by the way, as well.
Oh, well, how
Syracuse
could I
at
forget?
Miami at 3:30 tomorrow.
Patrick, where are your priorities? I'm sorry. I should have mentioned the Syracuse game. Yeah. Okay, so the weather looks great in a typical Florida style. Daytime, warm, not too hot. 70s, around 80. Saturday and Sunday, no thunderstorms really to worry about. Not too humid. So given what our conditions have been like before traveling to Miami, as we all know, over the last couple of years, this game won't have any heat effects to deal with. The weather looks just fine. It's just for those coming back, our weather is about to take, you know, its first significant turn of the season, which we're kind of due for. You know, we're diving into mid-November. It's kind of time to turn the page on our next season, and it will arrive here early next week.
So, okay, a couple things on this. Number one, let me start with Miami.
Yeah.
I normally pack something for the rain just because it's Miami, it's Florida. Is that, should, right. Am I going to use it?
No, I don't think so. I think I always am cautious with you, Sal, telling you to leave any gear at home. Because whenever I do that, it comes back to bite me. Whenever I say with you brought up confidence, right? That was something you brought up earlier. When you say with confidence, I usually lose it a little when it comes to trying to dress you for an appropriate game the next day. I can honestly say I don't think with confidence you're going to need rain gear over the weekend. So I think you're fine.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, I'm going to hold you to that one there. Yeah. And then as far as when people are coming back, how long is this going to last? So you say it's going to change here. You know, it's going to dip down. And there's going to be some areas of maybe seen a little bit of snow. Like, what are we looking at as far as long-term effects?
Yeah, so our first snowflakes of the season are coming next week. Whenever you get cold air in November, it raises an eyebrow because we all know when the lake is still warm and the air gets this cold, you have the potential of big, hefty lake effect snow events. And that will not be the case with this. It is going to get cold next week. One of the colder air masses we've had in November for quite some time. It's just not going to last very long. So we're going to see, as for today, a little rain. It's going to rain here in about an hour or so or two. Sunday, we're going to get some more rain. And then it does mix over to some snowflakes Sunday night into Monday. But it doesn't look like it's going to be a lot. The wind direction isn't right. The setup for this lake effect just isn't ideal for heavy lake effect snow. So we're going to get some snow showers especially Monday night, Tuesday, but it does not look to be impactful. Very typical early season stuff coming our way.
Is it everywhere snow showers or just like higher elevations, south towns? Like, no, what are we talking about?
It's actually, you know, it's kind of statewide. Anybody traveling across the state, whether it's speaking of Syracuse, this entire region is getting cold. But it's just, again, I would typically say one area's got better. This is just kind of light snow for everyone. So, and it just isn't going to be the kind that's going to shut down travel. It's going to be more token. It's the first flakes of the season. So take it for that. You know, it's the first time. So enjoy it, but nothing I'm worried about.
What's the average date of the year for the first snow?
Good question. On average, we see our first flakes in Buffalo. Like,
I know,
late
I'm putting
October.
You on the spot. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I love it, dude. These are weather nuggets. I love. October 18th is usually our first flakes. Our first measurable snow is usually mid-November, around November 9th, November 10th, and our first inch of snow is usually around Thanksgiving, towards the end of November. But it's very different, you know. Last year, we didn't get we got our first flake of snow at a record late date. It took until almost the end of December before we had anything. And then, of course, everything unleashed the following week. So you can have late starts, you can have early starts. This one will be kind of a little bit of a typical start for our snow here.
So next weekend, the Bills are playing the Buccaneers at home. It is a 1 o'clock Sunday start. That is the final 1 o'clock home game until probably the very end, which, because the game against the Jets, well, I'm guessing is going to be at one, but it doesn't have to be. It could literally be the last 1 o'clock home game of the year. The Jets game at the end has yet to be determined. That will be when it does. So that being said, 1 o'clock home game on a Sunday. We're not going to get any more of these. Can you tell us a little bit how it's trending maybe? I have some friends coming up from Florida. They're coming to the game a little bit. And I'm like, all right, they're coming up from Florida. What do we got here? They've been very weary about, okay, November in Buffalo. What are we looking at next weekend?
And for very, very good reason. I mean, historically, you've had some, you know, wintry or weather impacted games this time of the year. Just like kind of looking at the things that we look at.
Yeah.
This cold that's coming next week is not the opening gates for winter, meaning this is not going to last. The following, you know, mid to late next week, it kind of warms up again, and it actually kind of dries out. There's nothing that's screaming at me for next Sunday. There's nothing that says, oh, it's about to get cold. Oh, mm-hmm. I see a big storm coming. There's nothing that's suggesting okay. that. Sometimes you can see that stuff. There's often times that I can say, hey, Sal, hey, we got this game, but oh, wait till 10 days from now. That's a different story. Nothing is speaking to me like that just yet. So I would right now plan on, you know, in prep for the Buccaneers game, the weather to be kind of tame next week after Monday, Tuesday, and then we'll see how it changes as we head into the following weekend.
Sounds good. Then the Bills are in Houston the following Thursday night. So we're going to have some quick turnarounds for some weather reports from Pat Hammer, WGRZ TV2 chief meteorologist. What's that?
These 425 games are kind of bizarre because last week, as you know, it was dark already when it was kickoff. Yeah. So you don't think of it as an afternoon game, but it was really a night game.
Yes.
So, you know, the 1 o'clock you're prepared for, the 7:30, 8 o'clock night game you're prepared for. 425 is just like a weird, I don't know. You know, it's just, it's late.
Let me ask
you
this. I should know this, but I don't. I guess maybe people, this is common knowledge and it's not. If you're in Buffalo or Miami, is it an earlier or later sunset?
Ooh, that's,
do you know what I mean? Does it matter?
No, of course it's all about longitude and where you are.
Right.
Again, it's not just north, south, it's east and west. And if I recall, you also got to look at where the time zone ends or begins. Okay?
I'm looking right now. 5 o'clock in Buffalo, 5:35 in Miami.
Right. Okay.
Okay. And then, so the reason I ask is because we're watching games sometimes.
Yeah.
And Yana will say to me, well, look how light it still is there. They're East Coast, right? Wherever the game might be. I don't know. And I'm like, yeah. And I've always kind of thought about that a little bit.
Well, where we are positioned against other time zones, you know, makes it that if anybody in the Eastern time zone is going to get darker early, it's here just because of where we lie geographically. Last Sunday, I'm like, oh, we got a Sunday afternoon. You know, it's 4:25, you know. Let's play with the kids pregame. And it's like, wait, it's dinner time. I mean, because it got so dark so early because we had the time change that day. So it was just it was a different vibe.
Be home when the streetlights come on. And folks, that's 5 o'clock every in November right now. Okay. So make sure you do that. Hey, thanks for doing this today. We'll talk to you again next Friday. Thanks a lot for the update. And of course, we'll look ahead to what's happening next week here in Buffalo. Thanks, Pat.
All right. Good travels.
All right. You got it. Pat Hammer, WGRZ TV2 chief meteorologist. I don't have much time left, so we're going to take a break, come back, and we'll talk a little bit about what's happening this weekend, week 10 in the NFL. All right, let's get to it and wrap it up here with a look around the NFL, week number 10, and continue our tour around the league. Gave you Falcons, Colts, that's in Berlin. Saints, Panthers, Giants, Bears. Jags are at the Texans. This is a big game for the Houston Texans without C.J. Stroud. He has a concussion. He's out. So the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are 5-3, are looking to go 6-3. And look, if the Colts lose and go to 7-3, the Jags are right there with them. Big game for the Texans, though, to keep pace and to try and win without their starting quarterback. Jags at Texans. The Ravens are at the Vikings. This is a big test for Lamar Jackson and the Ravens offense against a Vikings defense that last week did a nice job. I mean, they did give up 24 points against Detroit overall. And J.J. McCarthy's pretty good on the offensive end, 27-24. But suddenly, a Vikings team that has life when it didn't look like they really did as of last week. And the Ravens are 3-5, and we know the situation they're in. So Ravens 3-5, who are finally healthy as can be, obviously guys on IR, against the Vikings big matchup for both clubs. Vikings in the NFC North, very, very competitive right now. Browns are at the Jets. The combined record of these teams is 3-13. The Jets no longer have Sauce Gardner. They no longer have Quinnen Williams. The Browns can't figure out their quarterback situation, but they have a very, very good defense, the Browns. And that's why I think the Browns have a very good shot to win this game. Because the Browns can sneak up on you and win a game by just playing good defense. And that's what they'll probably do against the Jets. And the Browns and Jets are at 1 o'clock at the Meadowlands. All right, Patriots at Buccaneers. Been talking about this game a little bit today. Huge, huge matchup for both teams. This is a statement game for both teams, I think, for people to think who they really are. The Patriots, if they go to Tampa and beat the Bucs, you're like, okay, this team is really for real. Drake May, MVP, favorite, or close to it. But isn't the same thing true for the Bucs? If the Patriots go there and the Bucs win, I mean, 7-2, 6-2. Bucs get the Patriots, they get the Bills. And of course, it means a lot to the Bills what happens here with the Patriots in this game. If the Patriots lose and go to 7-3 and the Bills win, the Bills will be a half game ahead of the Patriots at the end of the day at 7-2. Monster game for both teams. By the way, Patriots, no Keyshawn Boutte, no Ramondre Stevenson. Buccaneers, no Bucky Irving, no Chris Godwin. So both teams dealing with some injuries. Cardinals at Seahawks. Cardinals with a big win last week against the Dallas Cowboys. But the Seahawks look poised and ready to kind of make a run here. They got the Cardinals, the Rams, then the Titans, Vikings, Falcons. Their schedule's conducive for them to really kind of keep this going a little bit here. But the Cardinals have some talent. Probably not enough to go to Seattle and compete. We'll see. But you never know. Cardinals at Seahawks at 4:05. At 4:25, it's Rams 49ers. Another big NFC West matchup between these two teams. 6-2 against 6-3. Look at the NFC West. 6-2 Seahawks. 6-2 Rams. 6-3 49ers. Going to be interesting to see how all this plays out at the end of the year. These are key games for all these teams. 4:25, Lions at Commanders. No Jaden Daniels, but the good news is, after that really bad-looking injury with his arm, he is not going to have to go on injured reserve, apparently. They'll see if they get him back later in the year. But the Lions, after a tough loss to the Vikings, 5-3, very competitive NFC North, like I said, at the Commanders. And then finally, Sunday night, really interesting AFC game, Steelers at Chargers. Steelers 5-3, big win over the Colts last week. Chargers 6-3, still banged up in the O-line. They've won two in a row. Very, very interesting and important game for both those clubs. Bills, Dolphins, Sunday, 1 o'clock, all of your pregame coverage here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Sabres at Canes tomorrow night. We'll have it for you here as well. Thanks a lot to Joe Calley, as always, producing, and Owen Parker as well. Have a great rest of your weekend, everybody. I'll talk to you after the game on Monday on The Reaction Show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.